Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cricket Unfiltered. I'm Menes, and I'm here to wrap up day one of the second test, Australia v New Zealand, playing in Christchurch. And I've got, again, returning Kiwi Bob, one of the oldest panellists in the podcast history. Bob, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Menes. I don't know if I'm the oldest on the Cricket Unfiltered podcast roster, but...
One of the oldest.
Yeah, but I definitely was around a few years ago. Yeah, I mean, there's an old saying that if you have nothing nice to say, it's best to not say anything at all, which probably doesn't work for podcasts. But after what happened today, I'm going to really struggle to find the positives from a New Zealand point of view. But I'll do my best to help you wrap up what was a tough day for New Zealand, but a wonderful day of Test cricket overall.
Yeah, great day of Test cricket. But before we get into the details of today's play, there were rumours of infighting in the New Zealand camp in the period between the test matches. This is very unlike the New Zealand cricket team, Bob. So they really must be struggling under the weight of this enormous Australian onslaught.
Yeah, I guess you're referring to the situation around the retirement of Neil Wagner.
Yeah.
That's definitely, yeah, something that has come up. I think there were a few rumours floating around after the series against South Africa that, yeah, even I think people noticed a bit of body language, a bit of tension between Wagner and Southey. Obviously, Taylor came out and squashed those rumours, but there's no smoke without fire. So maybe there is something going on there. It's unfortunate that Wagner retired, actually, because, you know, there's a lot of sameness to the New Zealand bowling attack at the moment. It's all sort of right-arm military medium, isn't it? And we really miss, I feel like, a bit of variation. So whether that's the left arm of someone like lovely Trent Bolte or... Neil Wagner, but I can't speak too much to the infighting, but it definitely looked like we were missing something out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Australia won the toss and they sent New Zealand into bat. There were no changes to the Australian side, so quite an achievement for them to go through the whole local test summer and then go across to New Zealand and basically for the same four bowlers to play all seven tests. The only change was, of course, David Warner retiring at the end of the Pakistan series. So, you know, a real achievement for the Australians that they've got a stable outfit. And New Zealand, only one change. Will O'Rourke out injured. Is it Sears came in for his debut? Still no Santner, but Tim Southee and Kane Williamson playing their 100th test match. So New Zealand were sent in. They were bowled out for 162, and Australia are 4 for 124 in reply, trailing by just 38 runs. So, Bob, you have to say, before we get into the details, it was unequivocally Australia's day, but those last few wickets does give New Zealand just a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think it was a contest for about probably the first hour. And then after that, Australia really got on top. And there was a hint of a New Zealand fight back towards the end, as you say. The bowlers, I thought, bowled really well towards the end, and we'll get into that. Mm. But you might feel that way with Australia four down at close, but they did pile on quite a few runs. And I think they're only 38 or 40 behind the New Zealand first inning score.
38 behind. They scored quickly, but they lost wickets. So, again, this test match is moving very quickly. If you've bought tickets to day four, I reckon that's looking doubtful. In a real doomsday scenario, the way you guys have batted recently, it could be over tomorrow. Like, just say, Bob, Australia bowled out around half an hour after lunch and say they're already 100 ahead, and New Zealand get rock and rolled in a session in a bit for 100. Maybe Australia have to chase a few in fading light, but it could be a two-day test match. That's how badly you guys are going.
Yeah. Look, I wish I had a comeback. It's really hard to argue against that after seeing, what's that, three times in a row we've been bowled out inside 50 overs. I think we've been under 200 every time. It doesn't fill you with a lot of confidence for the third innings knock. You might be right. I've got plans to attend on day three.
I'm hoping it goes ahead just for you, Bob, even if it's, you know, just a session or two. I had the great pleasure once of taking my English brother-in-law to Lord's for a day of test cricket, and we knew full well going there that, you know, it was going to be over in like 2 hours and England were going to lose, and I took great joy in that. You might be in a similar situation.
Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah, I was glad someone can gain some pleasure from it, from my disappointment. You know, it is definitely a results pitch, though, Hagley Park. Since the tragic event in the Christchurch earthquake about a decade ago, they moved over to Hagley Park and they played 12 tests there. There's only been one draw. So we you know, putting today's context aside, we were always looking at a result here. But yeah, you're right. It might be inside just a couple of days, maybe wrapped up by the end of the weekend. New Zealand actually have a really good record at Hagley Park. As I say, there's been 12 tests there. We've only lost twice. One was to Australia back in 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one South Africa in 2023.
2016 was the one McCullum smashed that record 100, the fastest ever test century.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's the one.
So Pat Cummins sent New Zealand in, and 90 minutes into the day, I was thinking, wow, have we got this right? Because New Zealand, while batting conservatively, had got to none for 47 on just half an hour before lunch. And it seemed that maybe Australia had misread the pitch, but then we saw a fantastic catch by Mitchell Marsh at third slip off the batting of Will Young. He went to whip one through the leg side off Mitchell Stark, and it caught a sort of leading edge almost back of the bat. And you rarely see this happen, but because of the angle of the bat, it flew to third slip. So Mitch Marsh would have seen that very late. He dived in front of second slip, and that was the big wicket, the big breakthrough. So it was one for 47 at that stage. And he thought, okay, Australia have finally got a wicket. Then Tom Latham was out, caught behind off Josh Hazlewood for 38. He batted well, but got out at the wrong time. And then the big wicket, Rachin Ravindra was the next to go just on the stroke of lunch, driving it a wide one. A very loose shot, Bob. I thought this was probably the worst shot of the lot. Driving it a wide one just on the stroke of lunch off Hazlewood. So he was out, and that made the score 3 for 71 at lunch. And, you know, stunning turn of events in that last half an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. A horrific shot from Rachin Ravindra. He's a young man with a lot of potential. I think even some of the Australian players commented that he definitely has what it takes at the top level, but hard to understand what he was thinking with that shot. It was wide. He could have absolutely left it alone and gone into lunch and come out in the afternoon and made hay while the sun shined. But he absolutely threw it away. It was interesting because in the first test, I thought the sort of back of the length was what was working well for the Australian quicks. And then I think they tried to repeat that in the first hour. Maybe not Hazlewood. I think Hazlewood bowled really well right from ball one, perhaps a bit unlucky in the first hour. But the others I thought were maybe just a bit wayward. But after an hour or so, I think they pitched the ball up a little bit further. And I think they caught the New Zealand batters on the crease, not really too sure what to do. And they ended up sort of fending at them just outside off stump. And there was actually a lot of catches behind the wicket, not just the one Marsh took. I think Carey took 5 catches behind the stumps, and there were another 2 in the slip cordon as well. So that's 7 out of the 11 dismissal. So just shows. And apart from Ratchin, I think most of them were fairly sort of defensive shots. They're kind of just in two minds, caught on the crease and just nicking them. Mm. So, not too sure what the game plan was there.
Well, there is a real art to finding the right length on every pitch. And I often hear fast bowlers talking about that when they go and look at a pitch and they're sort of assessing where is the perfect length on each pitch going to be. So you're right. Maybe it just took them a while to adjust for that length, but boy, did they. So in the half an hour before lunch, New Zealand lost 3 wickets, but then it was a cavalcade because in the hour after lunch, they lost 4 more wickets. So Daryl Mitchell was caught behind, and that was a beautiful ball from Hazelwood, sort of coming in with the angle, then just straightening a little bit and a bit quicker than some of his other deliveries. So Mitchell was out for 4, caught behind. Then you had Kane Williamson caught on the crease, plumb in front in his 100th test match for just 17. That was a big wicket. That had New Zealand now 5 for 84 and in real trouble here. And then just the next to go was Glenn Phillips. He was caught behind off by Carey off Stark. He played well in the first test, but he couldn't repeat the dose. And, you know, that sort of period before and after lunch were just terrible. And I mean, Phillips was a bit unlucky. He was sort of pulling at one, it just found a little edge, but still, you know, you must have been, when New Zealand was 6 for 107, you must have been thinking, boy, oh boy, we are gone.
Yeah, I thought we were in really deep trouble. As you say, it was a bit of a collapse from 61 for 1 became 84 for 5. And then, yeah, as you say, just over 100 for 6. And they kept falling. We had a small counter-attack, you might say, with Matt Henry and Tim Southey. But no one really stuck around. I think it was just constantly losing wickets. No one was really prepared to grind. So it was a bit frustrating. We have to give credit to Hazelwood too, though. You know, he's been the star of the summer, I think, from an Australian point of view. You know, he's bowled the most overs out of the 3 quicks. He's bowled the most maidens, and he's taken the most wickets. He's taken 34 wickets over the summer so far at an average of 13. So just sensational numbers. And he was really on it today. I don't think I saw him bowl a bad ball.
Oh, yeah, he was phenomenal. Yeah, he ended up getting 5 for 31, which is his 12th 5-wicket haul, an incredible record. And, you know, you speak about how well he's doing. So he's now taken 272 test wickets at an average of 24.66. So that's a phenomenal record now that his bowling average is under 25. And that's, you mentioned his stats for the whole summer before. You know, this is coming off a period where he was in and out of the Australian test side. They didn't pick him in a lot of tours to the subcontinent. Before that, he was had injuries, so he'd missed a lot of test cricket. So this has been a phenomenal comeback. I do want to mention Mitchell Stark. So he did get the opening of wicket of Will Young. That took him to 355 test wickets. Then he got, as I said, Glenn Phillips caught down the leg side. That took him to 356 test wickets, which actually went past Dennis Lilly's record for most test wickets for Australia. So only people above Stark now on the most wicket takers for Australia list are Nathan Lyon with 527, McGrath with 563, and Warne with 708. So he gets Phillips, and then he gets Scott Kugelein, first ball, LBW, plumb in front, full in-swinging Yorker. So he's on a hat-trick, and New Zealand is 7 for 107. But, you know, to talking about sort of how good Hazelwood is, sometimes, you know, I don't think Stark gets his credit for the longevity. 89 test matches, 357 wickets, strike rate of in the 40s, 48, an average under 30, and that's only because he leaks a few boundaries. But, you know, he is a phenomenal bowler, Bob, and I don't know if he's ever really been given his due credit.
Well, I think people do look at those runs, don't they, and the boundaries that he leaks. But he's that style bowler. You know, he likes to swing the ball, so he has to pitch it up. And if you pitch it up, you know, every now and then you're going to be sent back to the boundary. So he does go for a few runs. But like you say, he's taken a bag of wickets over the years and feels like he's been around forever now, actually.
He has. He made his test debut in 2011, the same year Nathan Lyon did. So he is coming to the end of a long and very successful career. And, you know, just such a, you know, such a tribute to his longevity, his ability to stay on the park. He said during the week in an interview that he learned, you know, a couple of years into his test career that he just had to harden the F up because, you know, he would kept pulling out of test matches with niggles. And I think it was Trevor Holmes said to him, you know, harden the F up if you want to play. And he certainly has. He's foregone a lot of IPL contracts to play test cricket. So I give him a lot of credit. And, you know, I think actually what I admire about him is he's acquired a character that stays out of the limelight and he doesn't make it all about himself. He's clearly just loves playing for Australia and loves the team.
Yeah. No, look, very loyal servant over the years in all forms of the game. So, yeah, hats off to him.
So Kugelhunt goes, so New Zealand are 7 for 107. Then the next over, Cameron Green gets a wicket. He gets Blundell caught down the leg side. So two caught down the leg side for New Zealand. He was out for 22. Then you're right, we saw a little partnership, a 55-run partnership between Matt Henry and Tim Southee. Tim Southee in his 100th test hit 26 of 20. Matt Henry 29 of 28. This did really give a bit of respectability to the score because I thought it was going to be all out to the 115. So Southee was out to Pat Cummins, and then the last player to go was Matt Henry, who was caught behind. Strange one. Half the Aussie team didn't thought there was no edge on it. A few of the players did think there was an edge on it, so they did go for the referral, and there was the faintest little nick. So New Zealand all out 162. I mean, sort of looking at that pitch, Bob, I sort of thought that was 100 runs short of being competitive. I actually thought if they got to around 250 on this pitch, that might be, you know, competitive enough. But they just fell well short of that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think first thing this morning, there was a bit of chatter around about how green the surface was. But once they started playing on it, you could tell, you know, it really wasn't moving around that much. There wasn't a lot of swing for the bowlers. They were able to get, I think it wobbled around on the seam a little bit, and that was what was causing trouble. But it definitely didn't look like an all-out for 162 sort of minefield that you might think if you only looked at the scorecard. So you're absolutely right. I think they're probably 90 under par. I think 250 would have been. I think they would have taken that at the start of play after being put in.
Yeah, maybe. Stark 3 for 59, Hazelwood 5 for 51, Cummins 1 for 35, Green 1 for 21, the wicket takers. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back to continue wrapping up day one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menas. I'm with Bob, and we're wrapping up day one of the second test versus New Zealand. So then Australia came out, and it all happened so quickly. There was a good 40 overs to go left in the day. Australia ended up facing 36. Steve Smith was the first to go, played an absolutely shocking shot to the test debutant Ben Sears, who got a wicket with just his third ball. Smith did look quite good, I thought. He'd got to 11 off 24 deliveries, looked in pretty much control. And then a big in-swinger from Sears, and Smith shouldered arms. And the umpire gave it out. Smith reviewed it, and then it on the review, it was just clipping the off stump. But I have no sympathy for Smith, because if you shoulder arms to a big in-swinger, you're leaving yourself open to being given out. And, yeah, it just seemed like a real brain explosion.
Well, I think what was interesting was that the Australian batters right away seemed much more confident in terms of leaving the ball outside the off stump. I think Khawaja's been a great exponent of that all summer long. And as I agree with you, Smith did look quite confident. So it was really bizarre that he just decided to leave that one. But I guess he just didn't pick the in-swinger.
Yeah, that's it.
Huge wicket for Ben Sears as well on debut. He's dismissing Steve Smith in your first over. What an introduction to Test cricket.
It's a moment he will never forget. And he's been a few first Test wickets, I can remember, Smith. So, yeah, certainly one to be proud of. But, yeah, shocking shot. There seems to be this sort of questioning of whether Smith is the right person to open. I still think he is. Like, I actually just think he needs a break. That's the one thing I think about him and Marnus. And, in fact, the whole batting lineup, even Travis Head, they all just look a bit worn out. And, you know, I know people give cricketers a hard time. It's like, how hard can it be playing cricket? But I just imagine that after the last year and a bit, they're all mentally drained.
Yeah, it could be something to that. I think when I heard that Steve Smith was moving up to open, I just thought, you know, that's the sign of a selfless player. You know, I think we've seen it through the years that as people sort of reach the end of their career, they tend to shuffle down the order, not up. Mm. And so I really thought that was quite a courageous move, and it's sort of really frees up space in the middle order for someone like a Cam Green. So, you know, I like the experiment. I hope they continue with it.
Agree.
But yeah, maybe they do need a little break. Yeah.
So they get a break after this. Australia's not playing a test match till November. Smith's not in the IPL, either's Labuschagne. So I think that's good for them. They should go and put their feet up and think about anything but batting for maybe a month or two. Next to go, Usman Khawaja. He was a bit unlucky, bowled by Matt Henry. A ball flicked the sort of back of his pad and went on to the leg stump. Would have been going down the leg side, but it just flicked a little corner of the pad and that deflected it back onto leg stump. So, yeah, a bit unlucky. Not much you could do about that. That brought Green and Marnus Labuschagne together. And this is where I thought the game could absolutely be taken away from New Zealand, because they were looking sensational together. Marnus seemed to be more positive. He was much more aggressive with his stroke play. Looked like he actually wanted to hit the ball. And Green raced to 25 off 40 deliveries with 6 boundaries. And I have to say, Bob, in that innings, I thought, wow, this looks like a guy that's just announced himself in Test cricket. He was, you know, taking paces down the pitch to Matt Henry. He was smashing balls through mid-wicket. He looked like a Test number 4. But Matt Henry got in with a very good ball, a big off-cutter that cut back and went between bat and pad, and Green was bowled for 25, and that made the score 3 for 81.
Yeah, I'm actually curious to get your thoughts on something. You know, we were saying where the Kiwis were caught on the crease, maybe fiddling just outside the off stump. It seemed like the Australians' plan was to negate that. They were walking towards the bowlers, and as you say, getting themselves well outside the off stump, and then either leaving it alone if it was in the channel or just outside, or anything straight, they were just whipping through the onside. And it seemed to work quite well, as you say. Green and Labuschagne did that tactic particularly well. I also noticed when they went to play the pull shot, they got on top of the bounce and made sure to play it down, whereas I think with New Zealand tended to maybe sky a few of those ones. Mm. So, yeah, interesting tactic. So what do you think about that, sort of the way they were walking at the bowlers?
I like it. Obviously, you do it to mess up the bowler's length and you know, I think it shows positivity. It's also a bit about intimidation. Like Matt Hayden used to do that. And Green, you know, you can imagine even if you're a big fast bowler, you know, if you've got a Green or a Hayden walking at you, it's still intimidating. So I think there is that factor. He just got that one wrong. And that was a good delivery from Henry. Cut back a long way and went between bat and pad. So Green was out for 25, and that was the score was 3 for 81. And then Head came out and belted 21 off 19 deliveries, 2 fours and a 6. Marnus Labuschagne was up the other end just watching all this happen. But then he got out swinging across the line to Henry, caught behind, little inside edge. I guess if I'm sort of being critical, that's probably the most disappointing dismissal of the Australian innings going up to stumps. I know that's the way Head plays, Bob, but that was just a bit of a slog across the line.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think he was looking for something that wasn't quite there. I think in the previous over, he'd pulled one over deep square for 6, deep backward square. Mm. And I think he was perhaps trying to do the same thing, but the ball was maybe a touch too full
definitely
for that.
Definitely was.
So just caught the under edge and through to the keeper. So unfortunate for Head. I think there's a few people questioning his form at the moment. Happy for me, but yeah, I think he'll be disappointed with that one.
Well, it's rocks or diamonds with Head at the moment. He either comes out and smashes you a match-winning ton or can do what he's done here, get out early. He also went through a string of ducks in this home Australian summer. Again, I think he's another player that will just benefit from a rest. He even spoke at the end of the Pakistan Test series that he was sort of got in a reflective mood. It felt like the end of summer. And I was thinking when he was saying that, feels like the end of summer. You got 4 tests to go. Like, don't switch off yet. No, I know I'm not saying he switched off, but I do think he's a player again that just needs to freshen up. But you know, that's the risk. You know, that's the way he plays, a high risk game. And then that brought out Nathan Lyon, who was the night watchman. There was a big appeal caught down leg side offline, but it just flicked the pad. But that Australia ended the day 4 for 124, 38 behind. But, you know, the real positive news for Australia's batting is Marnus Labuschagne is 45 not out. He had been the main talking point all week about his lack of runs at test level. I hope he can turn this start into a massive score tomorrow, make it a big daddy 100, and then Australia can get, you know, quite far in front and dominate the test match. Matt Henry bowled well, 3 for 39. Now I have to say Tim Southee doesn't look good, Bob, but Henry does.
Yeah, Southee seems a bit down on pace. And when he isn't swinging the ball or bowling particularly quickly, you really wonder how he's going to take a wicket. He doesn't look threatening. And I'd say the same for Scott Kugelein as well. As unpleasant as it is to see pundits on social media, you know, essentially implying corruption in the New Zealand justice system, I'd rather not say that. I'd rather just say, I don't know if he has what it takes to play international cricket.
Yeah.
So with Southee and Kugelein, you know, both asking, well, we're asking questions of them when maybe they should be asking questions of the Aussie batters and they're just not. But Matt Henry was pure passion and effort from ball one. He gave everything today. It was so impressive, so skillful. And he'll need to back that up tomorrow morning because, as you say, you know, perhaps the odds on Southee and Kugelein maybe aren't great on busting through this lineup.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment on both of them. Well, that is it for our wrap of day one of the first test from Christchurch, Australia, just 38 runs behind with 6 wickets in hand. What are you expecting tomorrow, Bob? If you're going there on day 3, you're expecting to see New Zealand chasing down a modest target? Do you think they can get back into this game, or are you thinking now Australia's going to get a big lead and then dominate?
Well, there is a long way to go in the match. It's only the end of day one, even though we've gone, as we say, 14 wickets fell today. But there is a long way to go. I think on the bright side, you know, we got Cam Green out. He scored 174 in the first innings of the last test, and New Zealand lost by 172. So they can take some confidence from that. Few early wickets tomorrow morning, and it's game on. But I think
if you can get through Marsh, then you know Carey's been in bad form. Then you've got the bowlers. That there's a bit of hope there because Marsh is one who could take the game away from you in 2 hours. He gets out there early, belts even if it's not 170 or 80 off about the same number of balls. You guys are cooked.
Yeah, I think there is the risk that Australia take the game away from us tomorrow morning. So it's really going to come down to how the bowlers come out. But then, you know, I don't think it's actually the New Zealand bowling attack that's had sort of the main question marks of the series. You know, it's really going to come down to our batters in that third innings. So whether that's, you know, tomorrow afternoon sometime or whenever that begins, we really need to knuckle in and play some proper test cricket. And let's get the Australian bowlers coming back for their second and third spells. And can we dream about a second new ball? That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, well, that is something to look forward to. Listeners, thanks for tuning in to Cricket Unfiltered. Perhaps Kane Williamson can make 100 in his 100th test match and drag New Zealand out of another desperate situation against their trans-Tasman rivals. Thank God it's not the same as the Bledisloe Cup, because it is actually the same. It's almost the roles are reversed. We can't play rugby, you can't play cricket. So we just got to accept that. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. Kiwi Bob, thanks for joining me. It's been great to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of the test match, and it'd be great to chat to you again maybe after another day of the action.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, and shout out to all the listeners out there from the old days and the new ones, and hopefully we'll chat soon.
Thanks, listeners. We'll be back after day two.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.